You're listening to Comedy Central.
Welcome to episode 48 of the Rosenthal and Jeselnik Vanity Project. Nope, it's the Jeselnik and Rosenthal Vanity Project.
JRVP.
Junior Vice President.
I'd like to take this opportunity to thank Ellis Rosenthal for single-handedly getting the Steelers past the Dolphins last night. I love you, Ellis. You are magical.
Anthony in a great mood today because his Pittsburgh Steelers managed to beat the winless Miami Dolphins, and he was happy to hear that Ellis was rooting for the Steelers. He always, because she always does, because it's your team. How nice is that?
You're not even telling the story right. Last night I'm watching the game and it's 14-0, like almost immediately, and I'm just like, I can't believe we're about to get smashed by the Dolphins on Monday night at home. And Greg texts me and says, my daughter Ellis said out loud that she wants the Steelers to win because they're your team. And as soon as she sent that text, right after she sent that text, the Steelers went on a 27-0 run to win the game. That I was just like, she's 100% responsible for this. I do believe in superstition, and I do believe that without that text, without Ellis willing my team to win, that we would have lost that game. And I told you, if we lost that game last night, I would never watch football again.
I think that would have been the appropriate response to your team losing to a Dolphins team that's trying to lose. They're trying to tank, and now Steelers fans are all excited because their quarterback can complete a few passes against the worst team in the league. Please,
he got knocked out cold so hard that everyone thought he was dead 3 weeks ago, and now he took a little bit to warm up. I stand for Mason Rudolph.
I don't want to make the executives too happy by talking too much about football here, but I have noticed Pittsburgh fans, especially, and even the beat writers around their team that have been covering them forever, they're all way too optimistic. They all assume that this team is going to win 9 games and get totally back into the mix because of the Steelers' mystique. And to that I say, watch their quarterback play. They're winning 5 or 6 games.
The standard is the standard. I think we make the playoffs. I could see us.
That's what I'm talking about. There's been no evidence of this.
Because the AFC North is garbage. It's Baltimore. We have 1 game left against. I think we could still take the AFC North. I think Mason Rudolph's going to get better every week. Our defense is no joke. And the teams we've lost to have been great teams. We've lost to the Patriots. We've lost to the 49ers. We lost to the Cleveland Browns, one of the best teams of all time. And the Ravens. So those are our 4 losses. So those aren't terrible. But if we had lost last night, done with football.
Pittsburgh
forever.
Looks great though when they show it in those games. And I said that to Emeka. Like, Pittsburgh's a beautiful city. It's underrated. She thought I was being sarcastic, but I was not. Pittsburgh is one of those cities people don't know.
Yeah, it's like the one time you've ever said anything nice about Pittsburgh. So I could see her being a little skeptical about you. That's kind of, we'll get into what we did this week. I wanted to just say about last week's show, shout out to the listener who tweeted that I sounded like I was going through a hard time last week in hopes I'd cheer up. I was not going through a hard time. I was, we taped on Monday last week. We usually tape on, like tonight we're taping on a Tuesday. Tuesdays are pretty easy days for me. I can come in here all fresh. Mondays are rough days for me. I just have a lot to do that I came in tired and cranky. So thank you for helping I cheer up. But I think that was kind of like, I may be a little grouchy, but I think it's better than I normally am in here.
You seem pretty low-key even today. Well, it's been – October's been tough on a lot of people.
October No Child Porn Ober has been tough. Thank God it's almost over. You know, we've only a couple days left. I'm upset the banners I got to put on my balcony just arrived. That, like, I'm like, hey, guys, there's 2 days left. You know what I mean? Like, what am I – I got to save these for next year. I'm upset about that. But if you've been using the app – the Okta No Child Porn Ober app and tracking your progress, you know, your ups and downs. You know, do you wake up in the middle of the night and go look at or produce child porn? You know, it's fun to
go produce
it's fun to find out what you do. And I hope that, you know, into November you can carry it on, this abstinence from child porn, for at least, you know, a week would be great. You know, even a couple days, but just don't think like, okay, it's midnight on October 31st. Where is it? Let's get the shoebox out. I want you guys to just try to make this part of your lifestyle, and not so much for the rest of the year, but just getting ready for next year. You know, you want to have a base. You want to have like a discipline. You know, you don't want to go all out. You don't want to sprint every day, but you want to be able to I don't know, meditate, exercise, whatever you have to do to take your mind off of it, so that next October you can start right at midnight on September 30th and have just a clean month.
I just hope we get all our listeners back that have stopped listening since Octo No Child Porn Over started.
Listen, if people disappear, like, it's on you. You know what I mean? It's not because of what we're talking about. It's because they can't handle the shame. And that's fine. But people seem to be on board. I don't know how everyone's sober October is going, but our Octo No Child Porn Over, I've been clean. I know Erica. How have you been?
Good.
Yeah?
Yeah, clean.
I don't know. You hang out with a lot of like very young YouTube people that could be
under
18, but you're not producing anything with them.
Yeah, they're over 18 too.
Okay. Yeah. Good. Good on you.
Yeah.
Was that like an October thing for you?
I was like, yeah, I'm going to say no to this sort of stuff.
It's great. And Greg, you've been clean?
I'm always clean.
Your wife, you're honestly the one person who sent me anything was your wife. Your wife is broken Octo No Child Porn Over.
A picture of our son with his shirt off does not count.
Oh, wait. He sent that to me, too.
He was completely naked, reclining on a bed as if he was a model in the Renaissance period. It looked like a painting of a child. Like, the look on his face is hilarious. Like, he's just like, he is a nude model, completely comfortable with what he's doing. And your wife sent me that as a happy Octo No Child Porn Over. Mm-hmm. Well, how about your week? What was, you got the fires going on? Kids get off school? What happened?
Yeah, they were off on Monday, and they were back today. The fires thing is strange because, you know, we had snow days growing up, right? That was like the one, you know, it was like the most exciting day of the year to wake up and find out on the news that school was canceled, and it seemed so wholesome. And we woke up on Monday and found out, you know, the school is canceled because there's ashes falling from the sky. And there's a raging fire about 5 miles away. But the reaction they have is still the same.
Sure.
You know, they still like are. And I try to like explain at least to Ellis, who's a little older, that's like, well, these aren't necessarily, you know, good things. You know, people are being displaced from their homes and everything. But they don't care. It's a day off. It's a day off from school. It's a very strange place to live. With I woke up Monday and our entire house smells like smoke, even with the windows closed. You know, it still does.
How do you find out now? Like, when I was a kid, you'd wake up, you'd have to watch the local news and wait for it to scroll past your school, and you'd keep waiting, hoping. What now? Is there like a website you can
email
in the morning?
Mass text and recorded phone message type of system.
So you guys wake up and get it right away.
Yeah, that's how we found it.
Did they warn you it might not be like maybe tomorrow? We might cancel tomorrow.
No, this was a total surprise because the fire started overnight. It was right. It's kind of crazy. It's right where we lived, Anthony, me and you, when we first moved out to Los Angeles for about 2 weeks, 2 or 3 weeks is how I remember it. We stayed in a very nice, friend's parents' house for 2 weeks. And that's exactly where the fire was, and people are losing their homes.
Yeah, it's crazy. It's it happens every year in California. The fires get closer and closer. Last year was I live in like Hollywood, just surrounded by buildings. I mean, there's no trees, there's no nature anywhere near me that I don't worry about the fires. But even last year, they were so bad. They were like, keep your phone by you. You might have to evacuate in the middle of the night. And that if Hollywood burned, it would be crazy. Like, I understand houses in the hills. You know, there's so much, like, they're so close together. There's so many trees and stuff. That seems scary. Like, I wouldn't want to live there.
We're far enough away. I don't actually get worried about it. But the smell is so strong. I mean, and we've had much worse fires in terms of, like, the smoke just being ever-present outside. But I went running yesterday afternoon with Emeka. You know, people are walking around in masks looking at us like we're a couple of jerks, basically. Like, what are you doing?
Yeah. I mean, they're probably looking at her thinking that. Like, what are you doing with this guy? You know what I mean?
Like, I had to shake the ash out of Walker's, you know, shoe this morning. And I was just thinking, what? This is just it's very, I don't know if it's symbolic or what, of, like, what are the previous generation has done to the planet. But it's a big difference of, like, when we grew up to now. Like, here's what's happening. You get off because, you know, fires and climate change, essentially.
Now, the kids were excited. How did Emeka feel about having to deal with, like, did she didn't get her?
It's the worst. The kids? You want the, yeah. Well, especially the preschool, you're like, you're kind of like, you know, safety first, but we're paying for that thing.
Yeah. Yeah, I get it.
We thought about just dropping him off and like closing the door. I mean, because you could still get in there with the code and just let him run around.
You could have just given him like a bucket of water and pointed him towards the fires and been like, "Hey guys, you got to like you don't have to go to school, but you still got work." Erica, how was your week?
It was good. I went up to Joshua Tree with some friends and had just a night there. That was really fun.
How many drugs did you do?
Just drank.
Drink mushroom juice?
No. I'd be way too petrified to do mushrooms.
I've never heard of anyone going to Joshua Tree for any reason except for taking mushrooms.
No, we just went to sit around the fire, and we went to this like cool Airbnb that had all these different like kind of it was like a compound of a thing, and it was really fun.
I like that Greg's like, "This fire has ruined my week," and Erica's like, "I traveled somewhere just for a fire."
Yeah,
like I just enjoy. I just enjoy fire.
Have you got any updates on Good Talk?
Good Talk season 2, we're still waiting. I've gotten a couple of updates, and they like, here's what I'll say. And this is not a Comedy Central thing. This is like a network television thing or a like cable television thing. That when they do like a movie or a TV show that parodies Hollywood or show business, and you're like, this is like, there's no way it's this bad. That's like too crazy. They are softening it. So that people will like believe what is happening. Like it is all ridiculous. Like after every update, we just like huddle together and we're like, did that just happen? Like, but I do believe, I believe it'll happen this week. I believe it'll happen in the next couple of days. And I assume they'll announce it right away, but I know that.
Really?
That's great. It's close. I don't believe it until it happens. And I still don't know the logistics. Like they might be like, yeah, but not for another like 6 months. And that's will be its own issue. So I'm cautiously skeptical, but it is, again, this isn't a Comedy Central thing. It's just the way television works, but it is like, it's insane.
Well, cause as your friend, obviously I'm invested in this and, you know, I want to see you happy, and I'm a little worried of how crazy it would make you if this drags on and, or you find out it's not coming back while we still have a podcast. The possibilities are really insane to consider.
I think you are being too pessimistic, like in that I have stand up that I would just be like, okay, like I'm gonna go do stand up. And the show is so good that if Comedy Central was like, you know what, we're gonna pass for whatever reason, we could take it somewhere else and sell it in a heartbeat. Now that we have 6 episodes, we can be like, let's do this somewhere else. Someone will want this. And I have stand up, and as I told you last week, I've got the 15, almost 20 minutes where now it's like really fun to get on stage as much as I can and write as much as I can. I'm excited. Maybe you can come to Largo. I'm doing Largo in December. That'll be the big unveiling of a lot of the stuff. So I'll talk about that next month when it's not Octo No Child Porn Over. We have like less important things to talk about. And that was the week. Anything you guys want to add before we move on? Okay. And now it's time for Did We Get Any Notes? That sounds like a song that, like, Erica, if you were, like, the star of a movie, like, your character would wake up in bed and that would be playing as you, like, hit your alarm and, like, rolled out and, like, tried to find deodorant. No, we did not get any notes. I don't know if you heard last week's episode, but we got some notes and I lit into them as I like to do. We didn't get any notes this week, which I was not surprised by. I thought maybe they might say something about last week. But there were not only were there no notes, but the guy who gave the notes last week walked by me at the gym today, and I'm not going to say he purposefully avoided me, but successfully avoided me. Like I was like I was hard to miss, but easy to avoid. Do you know what I mean? Like I was like right at the corner on a treadmill that he was coming out of the locker room. That I'm like, yeah, if I were him, I wouldn't want to talk to me either. Like I just laughed when I saw him walk by. But again, he is a person that I do like. And I assume that he finds great humor in when I blast him by name on air. And that was Did We Get Any Notes? Now it is time for a little corner we call Erica's. Erica Tempoci, the Heathcliff to our Garfield. She is our producer.
Wait, so me and you are both Garfield?
Mm-hmm. I'm the top half. You're the back of Garfield.
The back.
I mean, the back half's like kind of the party half.
Like if we went to a like a party as dressed as Garfield, it would be like what? One of those horses that you have to be in the back.
I would never do it. I want to be Garfield. I'm going to be the owner guy.
John?
Yeah.
Everybody wants to be John. God, someone said the other day, they were like, it was on Twitter or something, they were like, Garfield doesn't work. The only reason he hates Mondays is that that's the day that John has to leave and go to work. That Garfield's hatred of Mondays just comes out of his love for John, even though he treats John like garbage. And is I was like,
is Garfield still happening?
Yeah, I mean, Jim David, the guy who created Garfield, has not done anything with it in quite. He just collects a check. But there are other people, like ghostwriters, who do it, and it is awful. Like when I was a kid, I loved Garfield. I would read the books, but it is. If you read Garfield now, you're like, what is this? It's like Family Circus with cats.
I'm sure there are comic strips still, but the comic strip in a newspaper business. Not as many job opportunities, I would imagine, these days.
No, but if you hit it right, you know, if you get the right, a lot of it's merchandising, you know, you still can do well. You just have to be good at it. But yeah, I haven't read a comic in a newspaper or a newspaper in quite some time.
Your voice today is very, very podcasty. Like, there's this guy who hosts 99% Invisible. Have you ever heard of this podcast? Roman Mars. He's got a classic podcast voice where the voice just sort of like envelops you like a warm blanket as I knock over some water. And that, yeah, it feels like you're going for that today, or it's just naturally happening. I don't know if you smoked cigarettes last night or something.
I did not. I haven't smoked cigarettes in years or anything else last night. I think this is just the way my voice sounds today. I don't know why I had to stop the podcast cold while I was introducing Erica's Corner to say it. I always have a nice voice. And they're like, you know, it's like colors in the rainbow. It's still the rainbow. You know what I mean? Maybe you get some red. Maybe you're getting some purple in there. But it's still very much a rainbow.
You're the one who said I was the back half of Garfield. I didn't stop anything.
That was just as rolling. You know what I mean? And you are the back half of Garfield forever. Anyway, Erica Temposi is our producer. We have to carve out a couple minutes of the podcast for her to do whatever she wants, ask a question, make a statement, talk about herself if she wants, compliment my voice if she cares to, and bring in another podcast to really waste our time and talk about that and how I resemble that other podcast. So Erica, shine on, you crazy diamond.
Well, today I just wanted to, you know, talk to you guys about if you've seen an article recently that's been sort of circulating with Deadspin. And in Monday, in a memo to the staff, the media editorial director told employees of the site, you know, which covers sports, you know, to abstain from stories that do not have an explicit link to sports.
Mm-hmm.
Wanted to know kind of how you felt about it.
Did you see my tweet today?
Yeah, I did. I did.
Yeah.
Classic Erica saying yes when she really means no.
I did.
No.
You tweeted something about nothing I love more than people shitting on work, something like that, right?
I mean, that's close, but you could have guessed that blind and still been right. Deadspin, you know, it was part of Gawker Media, got sold. Deadspin, IO9, Jezebel. I read all these websites, AV Club. I like them. Some of those might surprise you that I check them out, but I'll glance through, and I do enjoy Deadspin. And they were told to not do any like non-sports related stuff. Some of their best stuff has almost nothing to do with sports, and they rebelled by putting up just nothing but non-sports stories on the site and kind of walking away, and a guy got fired. And I just think it's cool that Deadspin did that, that they were like, you know what, no sports. Okay, we'll give you no sports. Or like, we're going to give you like all the no sports you can handle. Here's a story about dogs.
It was a very Jeselnik move. They said, you know, stick to sports. And the next morning they went all no sports, just as like a double middle finger to their bosses. Essentially like season one of the Jeselnik and Rosenthal Vanity Project.
JVP.
Junior vice president.
I wonder if this has something to do with Trump getting booed at the baseball game. Like, was that the impetus for it? Or was it just like they just got bought? Like, I don't follow the merger of it all. But I don't know if it's like they bought it and the next day were like, stick to sports. And they were kind of like, stick to sports. We've got other websites that handle political stuff. But still, I understand them bucking. You know, as I certainly would have.
Well, that's why people like Deadspin, and it's kind of a common story in today's media and really throughout business that it's basically like these venture capitalists bought it and they're going to strip it down to like a content farm and try to just make money off the brand until it just goes to nothing.
But the weird thing to me is that now, like, these websites used to be great. Like, Deadspin used to be great. A lot of, like, AV Club used to be great, and now they are a shell of what they once were. I'm sure most of it's due to budget, but they switch content so much. Like, an article from Jezebel about politics will show up on Deadspin that I wonder what the actual issue was, but their reaction to it was fantastic. So I support Deadspin. And after I tweeted that thing, being like, I love Deadspin, people telling their bosses to go fuck themselves, and the two of them combined, it was hilarious to see the responses. People being like, I haven't read Cuckspin in forever. It's like, Cuckspin. It's like, okay. Like, imagine if you were like that, if politics were that important to you, that if a website that you liked said something that like against your politics, that you would like have to make my nickname and never read it again.
I worked with Diana Moskowitz, who's done a million great things at Deadspin, who it was announced today too, or she announced it, that she's decided to leave the company based on what happened today and everything that preceded it. So yeah. Shout out to Diana. The NFL wasn't good enough for you, and neither was Deadspin.
I'm bummed. I mean, Deadspin was a great website. ESPN.com is like kind of like, you know, like your grandfather's like way to get sports news. The NFL.com, never been to it.
Never checked out.
The Athletic is behind the paywall.
My articles on NFL.com.
I read it if you tweet it. If you tweet it, I will read what you write. But I don't go to the website to be like, let's find out the NFL news. Like, I don't feel like you're going
to,
they're going
to
like.
I wouldn't want you to. I mean, I probably tweet. I must tweet. I write two articles a week, and I probably tweet half of them out. I don't think you're reading all those. 15-0 in picks last week, by the way. Every game right. How about that?
Congratulations, buddy. I know you've been wanting that. I just think, yeah, The Athletic is behind a paywall. Like, what is going to be the next site? Because don't tell me Barstool Sports. Don't tell me that. What's the other one? What's the good one that sounds like Barstool Sports? Or is Barstool the good one? What's the one I'm thinking of?
Barstool is not the good one, I would say. Because their guy's the one who, you know, appears on Fox News to try to, like, rile up the fan base. I don't know who you're talking about. A good sports
Bleacher
site?
Report. Bleacher, Report. Bleacher Report. Is that good. Is it good? I've seen a couple articles. The same thing happened?
Yeah. It's not.
It's fine.
So I stand with my Deadspin brothers and sisters. Power to the people. And it's, again, this isn't, we're not being political. It's not like, oh, we should be able to talk about politics. It's like, do not tell us what to do, even if there's a merger of some sort. So yeah, I stand with them as if anyone's surprised by my answer to Erica's Corner and Greg's, for that matter. But Greg, of course, is at the NFL Network, where no one has ever gotten fired or left. And they love it when you talk about politics. They're like, hey, can you squeeze some more in? Hey, Greg, before you go on the air, check out these polling numbers in Iowa. See if you can work them in. Goodell wants politics.
I mean, Goodell allowed the Rosenthal and Jeselnik vanity project. That was my least favorite 5 seconds in this show's history. What just happened? Like, hell would be listening to what just happened on a loop. That was terrible.
I think you're kind of overstating it. But I found out Goodell had to have knee surgery because he's been getting down on one knee so much that the one knee that he gets down on every time, he doesn't switch up knees. He gets on different knees that he's hurting a little bit. Rest up, Roger. And go ahead and get it on the other knee during the national anthem. And that was Erica's Corner. Shine on, you crazy diamond. Let's get to headlines. That was pretty good. That sounds like someone walking through a party in King of New York. It's not a reference not a lot of people are going to get, but if you've seen the movie, you'll understand.
So we got some extra headlines today because it's just that big of a news day. So let's get started with Drake. I mean, where else should we start? Drake was given a championship ring by the Toronto Raptors just for being a super fan recently.
He's more than a super fan. I'll stop you there. He's like the official ambassador, whatever that means.
Whatever.
To the city of Toronto. He gets to sit next to the bench and like give the coach back rubs, and everyone seems to be cool with it.
Okay, so he missed he got the ring, but he missed the night, you know, that they had the ceremony. And he wrote, you know, he was sorry not to be there with all his brothers that night. And oh, by the way, he also decided that ring was great. I believe it had a diamond for every victory they had during the season, which was over 70. But that wasn't enough. So he made himself a championship ring, too. That cost $150,000 and had 650 diamonds in it with the word North and the boy on it somewhere.
Here's what I think is funny about this, and that I do not believe the story. First of all, the Raptors rings are the ugliest championship rings I've ever seen. They're the biggest, like, that's not subjective. They're the biggest championship rings ever, but they're hideous. Like, you would not want to wear that. It's like the ring you would get if you're like, I'll never get another ring again in franchise history.
It's kind of true for all these championship rings. They're all insanely huge, and there's not any situation that I think you could feel comfortable wearing it without getting,
like, but this one's even bigger. This one's
mud.
Even crazier. Like, they're like, but you're like a huge person, so you can wear a ring that still looks okay. But this thing looks like a... Like what are those Egyptian, like in the movie The Mummy, where they like come out? They're not cockroaches, but they come and they eat you. It looks like one of those, a scarab. Is that what they're called? It looks like an insect on his hand. But I honestly, Here's what I think happened. I think Drake did not think he was getting a ring from the team.
Yes, exactly.
And then Drake went out and bought a ring and had it made. And while they were making it, the team was like, "Hey, as ambassador, you're a part of us. We want to give you one." And he was like, "Oh." Cool. Yeah, I also had this other one made. Like, because if that's not what happened, then he's trying to show up the team by making better rings than everyone else. That I don't believe he would do that. That he had no idea he was getting a ring and had his own one made. And now he's got two rings. He's got to pretend like it's like totally what he meant to do.
I mean, the picture of him in the club, you know, wearing each ring, one on each hand, is ridiculous.
Yeah, and they're hideous. It's almost like I believe the players who are still on that team wish they hadn't won the championship because the ring is so ugly.
Like, what do you think it meant to them that he missed the ceremony and he's talking about them as his brothers, but he just made like a way better ring to show them up?
They were probably like, thank God Drake couldn't make it tonight. We're so sick of this guy. Like, Jesus Christ, be a fan, but like, you're not part of the team.
Don't, like, teams give stuff to people that have, like, cancer, like, kids that have cancer?
Not,
get,
not $100,000 championship.
Well, like,
it just happened.
St. Louis.
The St. Louis Blues, when there was a girl, and she's not dying, but she has some illness, and she became, but she was, like, a rallying point. Like, she came to every game. Like, the
right.
team loved her. The fans loved
Drake
her. That they were like,
not.
She was like a mascot, kind of. You know what I mean? That
right.
That,
it's like Belichick sent Mike Tomlin one just for all the help that he's done over the years. Getting the Patriots all those Super Bowls.
Didn't Robert Kraft give one to Vladimir Putin?
It was stolen, supposedly, yes.
Supposedly? Yeah. Yeah, I'm sure. Maybe
really?
Maybe he left it in the massage parlor, if you know what I mean. You know how like your hands get all kind of greasy after massage? You try to put the ring on, you're running out because the cop showed up. You're trying to get out the back window and it slips off your finger. Putin's there to grab it. You never know. I'm not saying anything or accusing anyone of anything.
My favorite part of that story is when you said, you know when you're at the massage parlor and your hands get all greasy?
Yeah, because they massage your hands.
They do.
When's the last time you got a massage?
Just saying. Never.
Really?
I got actually, I did get one on our honeymoon.
Like 30 years ago?
No, I was trying to remember when, but yeah. I know I would. I mean, no one's given them to me.
That's not how massages work. You don't just walk around hoping someone someone pulls up and runs out with
the
table. Yeah, I know what I'm getting you for your birthday. And yeah, Drake is you think Drake like hits the corny ceiling that you like can't get cornier than Drake, and then he just like all of a sudden he's got like a saw and like a pickaxe and he's going to work, and you're like, man, I didn't even know there was more room up there. Like this is insane. That was a bad song.
This will cheer you up though, Anthony. A 56-year-old woman in Iowa died instantly last week at a gender reveal party when a flying piece of debris from a homemade explosive, essentially, you know,
they made a
intended to reveal the gender of the unborn baby, flew through the air and hit this woman in the skull, killing her instantly.
The crazy thing is, like, they wanted it to be, they wanted like a big explosion of blue or pink or whatever it's going to be. And they made this like metal thing that was going to blow up, but then they put tape over the top of it, thinking like it wouldn't be enough if they just lit it. Like, it wouldn't look spectacular enough. And once they put the tape on, you seal it. That's a pipe bomb. The piece of metal that hit the woman's head kept going for, like, hundreds of feet. Like, they found it hundreds of feet behind her that, like, that motherfucker blew up.
Over 400 feet. She was standing about 45 feet away with other family members. It wasn't the mom or...
No, they don't. They won't say who it is. It's just like a neighbor, like an older woman who's like likes gender reveal parties. That's why I love this so much. Like, I think that someone should have to die at every gender reveal party. You want the good, you got to take the bad. You know, the yin and the yang. You bring a life into this world, you got to take one out. And on the bright side, like, women love this gender reveal shit. Like, I bet the woman who died, I bet her last thought was like, this is nice. This is worth it. Like, oh, it's a book.
Like, she's having a nice time because she just saw the blue exploding, or she saw the piece of shrapnel coming at her skull, and she thought, well, if I'm going to have to go out, like, which was?
I think she saw the blue and was like, this is nice. You know, she doesn't have time to think about the shrapnel. That just, like, she's just gone. But she's in heaven being like, wow, that was a great, like, no, she's not even worried about dying. She's just thinking about how nice the gender reveal party was. Like, $8 million in damage in, a couple years ago. Someone tried to do a gender reveal party and, like, set a fire. Like, people try to do this for the clicks. They do it for the gram. And you killed a woman doing a gender reveal party, which, I mean, if more people died at gender reveal parties, like, you guys never did one, did you?
No, of course not.
This makes me want to just have one. You know what I mean? Be like...
Make your own homemade bomb?
You know what? No, I mean, just like invite have a party, invite a bunch of friends over, and then have one friend like hang out in the bathroom and then be like, guys, guess who's here? And then open the door and it's just like blue smoke coming out. And the person who was in the bathroom falls to the ground dead, like they've suffocated. You know what I mean? Like, you don't have to be having a baby to have a gender reveal party.
Sure, I guess not. Like, do you think that someone... You know, from the party, once they got over the trauma of it, like, edited the video and put it up, you know, without the death, but just the.
I guarantee they edited the video. I guarantee they edited the video, and then someone was like, "Ah, we shouldn't do this." But like, how? I wonder how long it took for them to figure out that Susan wasn't getting up. You know, they're like, "It's a boy. Oh, this is so cute." Like. I mean, Susan's fucking dead.
I mean, it sounds like it went. If the piece of metal went another 400 feet afterwards, I think she hit the ground, and everyone knew exactly what happened.
But it's an explosion, so you don't hear her hitting the ground. You know what I mean? They're all close enough that they're all just like, oh, and like maybe she was like stunned by the explosion. They're like, oh, Susan, get up, and then Susan like. But I don't know if she's a relative. I think it may have been a neighbor who was like, this will be sweet. I want to see if it's a boy or a girl. And then, boom, you're dead. Ugh. This is like...
There was...
Has there ever been... What do you think... Remember the time there was a video I saw where it's like a gender reveal party. They go to the balloon store and they like box up balloons. And I assume they like call the hospital calls and is like, it's going to be a boy, put blue balloons in there. It's going to be a girl, put pink. And they open it up and it's just multicolored balloons come out. And the mom and dad are so angry. They're like kicking the box and like furious that they've ruined this thing for them. That was a good one. But this is
will they tell the kid about this? What happened?
I bet if it's a boy, they do. And if it's a girl, they don't. You know what I mean? You
don't
talk about the person who got decapitated at your gender reveal party. I think guys can handle this stuff. You know what I mean? But the girls, you don't want to saddle them with that. But
favorite one until this one was there's a Kirk Cousins one. And he's only like 6 feet away from. He had to throw a ball to like hit a target, and it was only like 5 feet away. And he like threw it into the dirt and basically missed it and ruined it. Which, yeah, it was fun.
I think I did see that one, but this is number one. This is number one. I guess here's what the gender is, and here's who your neighbors aren't anymore. And now it's time for
ad copy.
Greg, what do we got this week?
We got one I'm very excited about. I'm excited to continue to lose my away luggage. So Away, you know, sent us an email, Anthony, a few weeks ago. Are you interested in trying one of our suitcases? You can choose between the carry-on or the bigger carry-on. And we went with the bigger carry-on, at least I did, because that's just the kind of guy I am. But their suitcases are great. They have different travel styles. The carry-on, it has a 100-day trial that lets you try the Away product on the road. It's a limited lifetime warranty. They will fix or replace your bag if it ever gets damaged. It's so a limited lifetime warranty, no matter what happens.
But these bags are so solid that you're not going to have to worry about that. Like your plane could crash, and you'd still be able to find your luggage with a bag like this. And I tour the country. I tour the world. I know suitcases. I know a durable one versus a bad one. I've gone through many of them. Basically, I have to get a new suitcase every tour because of how much I tour. That they gave me this one today, and I cannot wait to not have to check a bag. I usually have to check a bag. This thing is the perfect size, and it's got everything you want.
It's got a lot. It's got a built-in compression pad that helps you pack more. It's got a range of unique personalization offerings. It's got four 360-degree spinner wheels, which guarantee a smooth ride. That's like a car. It's got a TSA-approved combination locks. I like that, which keep your belongings safe.
From everyone except the TSA.
You can just lock them. It's got one of those batteries that can keep your phone charged.
Which is crazy.
Which, you know, is good for carry-on. And if you need to check it, you just eject it right out. It's got a laundry bag. I mean, this is some next level stuff, and our listeners can get one.
Tell them about the 100-day trial. That's the coolest thing.
I did right at the beginning.
I said a limited lifetime warranty.
No, but customer service.
It was like the first thing you said.
No, lifetime warranty is different than your 100-day trial.
Greg, tell them about the suitcases.
I mean, there's two sizes. It is nice to you. There's a lot of choice you can make. The colors, the sizes, the materials. And our listeners can visit awaytravel.com/vanity. That's awaytravel.com/vanity and use the promo code vanity to get one of these sweet, sweet suitcases.
And that was
ad copy.
Nice job, Greg. Erica, where's your head at?
Where's my head at?
Yeah.
It literally says 100-day trial. If you don't like it, you can give it back, money back, no questions. That's different than a lifetime guarantee. And I'm talking this up because this is the coolest thing we've ever gotten.
It is very light. You know, we're still going on. It's lightweight. It's thoughtfully designed, very durable.
Well, no, here you
I've
guys
never
are
been
saying
more
I'm not
excited,
listening.
And Erica's never been more jealous.
I'm really upset.
All right, tough news here.
Yeah, the last story was pretty rough for our listeners. Let's lighten the mood with something like some good news that everyone can be happy about. Do we have that?
No.
Ugh.
We've got maybe the toughest news yet for Renner Nation, of which we're part.
It's still
Marvel
Renner.
Considered replacing our guy, Jeremy Renner, as Hawkeye after the recent allegations involving his ex-wife, which we detailed last episode. It's possible that Renner could be out of the Marvel cinematic universe.
Have you seen any Marvel movie with Jeremy Renner in it?
I've never watched one. No. Well, on the plane, but not with my headphones in. Like, the person next to me was watching it.
Sure.
I kind of watched it.
Erica, have you seen...
I've seen him. One of the Avengers.
Okay. Here's what's so funny about this. In the past, like, 5 Marvel movies, everyone's like, where's Hawkeye? And they're like, he's retired. He's off with his family. And then he shows up for like one scene at the end and he's like, still got it. And you're like, but he's been retired. Like, they just got rid of Chris Evans and Robert Downey Jr. And this guy who's just like shown up for like one scene in the last 4 movies is now like, oh, how are they going to replace him? Like, he would have been gone anyway. I don't even remember what the allegations are against Jeremy Renner. What was it again?
Well, there's a custody battle with his daughter. That Renner talked about, you know, killing his ex-wife and himself at one point in a threatening way. You know, Renner put the gun in his mouth, remember?
Mm-hmm, of course.
So
of course I remember that.
Doesn't seem like the type of guy you want kind of representing
he's getting
your,
into
like,
character.
Like soft family brand.
I mean, this is a guy who kills people with arrows. So like putting a gun in his mouth is kind of a step forward, if you think about it. I just think now, like, again, Renner is an art monster, that he's just taken the quiver full of arrows on his back, putting it down. And you know what he's replacing it with, Greg? On his back?
Guitar.
A guitar. You looked at me like a little lost. I was like, I can't believe he's going to miss this. But then you got it. You got a couple bounces off the rim and then in. That's right. He's going to put it on a guitar. I just think, I hope it's not the JRVP bounce that has, you know, that like if like the JRVP bounce just threw him too close to the sun.
Was there anything weaker than like a corporation leaking that they're considering replacing this, you know, eminently replaceable character, apparently, but not actually doing it? It's like when a sports team, you know, considers replacing a guy who has some off-field problem, but you know, they don't do anything. Let's take some action.
But this is like, the place the movies are in right now, like you wouldn't expect to see him on screen ever again in a Marvel movie already. So them saying they're thinking about replacing him. Mm. Like, remember when Gilbert Gottfried got fired by Affleck for like the insensitive tweets, and they hired a guy who sounded just like Gilbert Gottfried but wasn't Gilbert Gottfried to do it, and they acted like they were being all high and mighty. It was like, bitch, you just didn't want to pay him anymore, and you like saw this as a way out. That I think this is a false story. I think this is not true news.
What if Marvel came to you and they said, Anthony, we want to replace Renner with someone that looks kind of like him?
I'd be like,
our guy.
I'd be like, I've always thought of Renner as kind of a father figure. I've always looked up to him that way. And I'd be like, listen, you're going to have to dub the songs. Like, I'll replace him in every way. I can pretend to shoot a bow and arrow. You know what I mean? I can, like, pretend to fight with the bow that he does a lot. I could do the thing where I go to stab someone and they catch my hand and I let the knife drop and then I catch it with my other hand and I stab them. I can do that. But can I sing like Renner? I wish.
We've got some breaking news.
That's the breaking news song? What is it? What's the breaking news?
Into the Justin Lick and Rosenthal Vanity Project.
Is it more about the woman who died? Or is it about, like, what is it about this time?
I mean, I'm breaking news, I don't like to be interrupted.
I'm too excited. I need to know what the Renner story bummed me out so much, I need to know what the breaking news is.
Breaking
right
news
now.
In the newsroom here. Jeremy Renner's original song, Believer, from the Arctic Dogs soundtrack, has been released.
With lyrics or without?
With lyrics. With lyrics.
I listened to it last night. I didn't know it was officially released. Like, I get, you know, I don't know if I should be even talking about this on the air, but I can get music before it's released sometimes. You know, I'm a celebrity. I have that pull. And
it's like an app you guys all have, right?
Mm-hmm.
Encrypted.
Mm-hmm. And I went on the app and I was just put in Renner just to see. And he was like, he wrote, it just said, you're not going to believe this. And I was like, huh? And then I clicked and it was like, oh, the song's called Believer. And you listen to this song, like all his songs, I mean, we've talked about it before. All his songs were designed for an aerobics class covered in sawdust. You know what I mean? Like, you want to like work out and move your body, but you're also like, there's something gritty about it. There's something old timey. You're kicking up dust because you're a nomad. And Believer carries on that tradition. I don't know what Arctic Dogs is. It's an animated movie. That's as much as I know. I know Jeremy Renner is a voice. I wonder if the character sings a song at one point, like to the other characters.
Well, or it's on the legacy of Snow Dogs with Cuba Gooding Jr. A couple of classics. I'm just more interested in this exercise room with sawdust. With one of those bars with peanut shells on the floor.
Like if you went to do yoga in Alabama. Yeah, if you went to do yoga in Alabama, there would be like peanut shells on the floor as you laid out your mat. And that's what I think of, like Renner's, like, it's the body and the mind.
The lyrics are something else.
Hit me with like just some killer
highlights. The first lyric technically is Hit Me, which considering, you know, his recent stories is troubling, but the first verse
it's a nod. You know, Shakespeare used like his own life to kind of inform his plays. That I think that's just Renner, you know, opening up the cabinet door to look inside and see what kind of medication he has.
Been playing by the rules, but they don't apply to me. They always say I don't belong, and people always told me that I'd never mean a thing. I'm just trying to prove them wrong.
Playing by the rules and also believing they don't apply to you makes you a psychopath. Like, it's just a complete out and out psychopath. But the way he sings it, the way he sings it, you feel good about it. I mean, listen, get this song, download it.
So you wouldn't sing it if they
I can't sing. I don't have that level of talent that Renner has. I can do all the things that he can do, every single one of them, except for that. Except for that. It's sad. But listen, I'm just glad that as Renner walks away from the Marvel franchise, he's walking into the Arctic Dogs franchise, which I'm sure it's very similar. And he gets to stretch. They never let Hawkeye sing in the Marvel movies. You know what I mean? He would want to. I just remember when he was just like... Like at the end of if you see the deleted scenes from Avengers Endgame, the final Avengers movie, he comes out at the end and he's like, "Thanos is dead because he couldn't play by the rules, which don't apply to me." It was great. It was great, but they cut it. They said it doesn't make sense for Hawkeye to sing. He's sad that Scarlett Johansson is dead. Didn't Scarlett Johansson try to sing at one point? Didn't you put out an album?
She did. She put out an album with not Tony Bennett, Tom Waits, I believe.
Yeah. Yeah, I remember that. Yikes. People were kind of like, all right, go ahead. But she couldn't get in a Jeep commercial, okay? She doesn't have that kind of talent.
Been playing by the rules, but they don't apply to me.
Speaking of playing by the rules, but having them not apply to them, Greg, what's our next story?
900 children in a Pakistani city of Ratodero tested positive for HIV recently. They were part of a mass infection in the city that almost entirely involved children.
Horrible, horrible news. And this is why I'm against sleepovers. This is why I think, you know, a lot of people see it as a rite of passage. You know what I mean? Like, oh, they're just having fun in the treehouse. No, they're not. They're getting HIV. That I don't know if it was like, if there was like one kid who was the most popular who everybody wanted to stay at their house and then they kind of spread from there, or if it was like one big sleepover. Do you know what I mean? Or maybe just like, what if it was just like one big game of rugby that they just like, they just
think that's
like,
how it works, Anthony.
I mean, 900 kids? You know what I mean? I think that's exactly how it works, Greg. Is maybe cricket? Is that what they played on there?
Why did I know when I saw that there was a story that 900 children contracted HIV that you were going to want to talk about it?
You know, sometimes you pick the story, sometimes the stories pick you. And when you got 900 kids, it's almost like, you know, like back in the day, if your parents got divorced, it was like, oh my God, how's he going to deal with it? And now, like, everybody's kid, all the kids' parents are divorced, so it's not a big deal. Like, these kids are going to grow up being like, oh, you don't have HIV? Look at this loser. You know what I mean? Like, these kids are in it together, which I think is like positive. One kid with HIV is a tragedy. 900 kids, you know what I mean? Now it's a movement. Now
it's an opportunity.
Can someone make them a believer?
Was it hashtag Octo No Child Pornover related?
No. No, I mean, that probably would have kept them safe.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? They were obviously affected probably this month or before, but 900 kids with HIV. I do like a round number. I will say that. It's not like 845. You know, it's like 900, and they were like, "That's enough. Let's cut it off here, and no more." But you know, I wonder what that reveal party is like. The HIV reveal party that like they call these 900 kids into the auditorium, and they're like, "All right, kids, back up." Because if this cloud is red, you're all going to die. And if it's white, you're clean. Sorry, we only have the red. Has this been the same song the whole time?
It feels like it, but they're different.
What's that called? Roller skating?
Yeah, it's like...
And now it's time for
Choo Choo
Recommendation Station. You want me to go first?
Go for it.
Greg's pointing at me. Greg always goes first, so this time I will do it. I'm going to recommend a book. And listen, if you can't hang with me on this one, I understand. I've tried to talk about it to people, and they're like, that sounds awful.
It's a lot of books this year.
Okay. It's a 700-page book called Ducks, Newburyport. N-E-W-B-U-R-Y-P-O-R-T, one word, Newburyport, by Lucy Ellman, a British author, and it's basically 700 pages. It's one long sentence of like a housewife's inner monologue as she goes about her week. And it's mundane, things happen, a couple like interesting things happen, but it's just kind of her inner monologue and her life that the writing is brilliant. It keeps you going the whole way through. And it just almost felt like, it like felt like getting to know your mom a little better, if that makes sense. Like just the, wow. You were so in the character's head that you're like, oh, this is what it must have been like to be at home while all the kids are at school. That I thought the writing was great, and I truly did love this book. Just devoured it in a couple of days. And everyone I've tried to tell it about, I was like, that sounds awful. 700 pages, one sentence about a housewife. No, thank you. That I understand, but I'm going to recommend it anyway.
What's it again?
Ducks Newburyport by Lucy Ellman. It just came out a couple of weeks ago, and it's very of the moment. Like, they're talking about things in the book that are going on today that I was surprised by. That it was like, I think it's different reading it now than it would be reading it in 10 years.
I'm going to try it at some point. I think that's an off-season book for me. During the NFL season, sometimes keep it a little easier.
Do I do this to you reading. When you're recommending things?
No, I've been saying it sounds really interesting. I've heard a little bit about it too. It's ballsy. That's some like James Joyce Ulysses.
That's what made me want to do it. And I've read about books that are like James Joyce and do weird things, and I'm like, I hate them. But I've truly enjoyed this book enough to recommend it.
I'm going to recommend Fleabag this week.
Amazing.
I actually checked. There's a site that keeps track of all of our recommendations, making sure no one had recommended it yet. I got to it very late, just started it recently. You're giving me a look, Anthony. I feel like everyone's probably seen it at this point.
It won multiple Emmys. Like, you were so late on this that, like...
I get it.
I mean, go for it.
But you know what?
I've never seen it. I hear it's great. I've never seen it.
See, this is what I'm talking about.
I don't watch TV, though.
A lot of people... You don't watch TV?
I watch like one show maybe at a time.
You watch way more TV than I do.
That's a lot.
By far.
That's a lot. Take away sports. I watch Succession.
I don't watch anything but sports, basically. Yeah.
And Fleabag.
And Fleabag. Fleabag's worth it.
I hear great things.
It's phenomenal.
First season is great. It's funny. It's, it's surprising sort of how foul and just like fun it is. It's a very easy watch. But the second season kind of takes it up to a deeper, I think, better notch that is very satisfying and short and amazing. I think there's a lot of people like us that didn't watch it because everyone's telling them to watch it or it's on Amazon. And so they put it off or they're like, I'm not really into that. And now I'm saying, don't be that guy, Anthony. You'll someday watch it and then you'll enjoy it.
I'm going to give Erica time to recommend Sopranos.
It's not the same thing.
Go ahead, Erica. What do you have?
Well,
that's won multiple awards.
Well, you said
that's been nonstop in the news for the past 3 months.
Yeah.
What do you have for us?
You said it wasn't. I couldn't quite get behind recommending new Kanye because you were going to criticize it too much.
Yeah, because it's.
But I have to say, it sounds the production and some of the songs sound pretty good.
Production's great. I don't want to hear about your Jesus bullshit.
Yeah, but his lyrics have never been, or at least recently, are never the strength. It's not quite there for me. It's not recommendation station worthy.
You might Chick-fil-A. It sucks.
You have to ignore the terrible songs and just go with a couple good ones.
The whole thing makes me mad. And I love Kanye, but I hate this new. I hate Jesus Kanye.
Anything that makes people hate it this much, something to it.
Are you kidding me?
No.
Your logic is flawed and I could point things out.
No, that's true. I just mean there is something just like strange about it that's interesting that he's even trying to do it. And the songs sound a lot tighter and a little and more focused, I would say, than certainly Ye, his last album. Which, by the way, like has Ghost Town on it, which is a great, great song. Like there are some great songs on this.
Are we talking about Renner now?
No.
Are we back to Renner?
No, we're talking about Kanye. I thought you would enjoy him getting clips back together for one of these songs.
I liked it, but they're still rapping about Jesus,
it's
which
got
is
clips
the worst.
And Kenny G.
I tolerated
Everyone
Jesus
Everyone was
walks.
Talking about that Kenny G part, and I listened, and I was like, Kenny G is great, but take him off this album.
Greg's had two bad recommendations. He squeezed them in.
Fleabag's great. It's not a recommendation.
It's a great show. I believe you, but you recommending it now, it would be like, hey, you guys should check out Running Water. You know, it's if you don't have it in your house, get some now. Like it's been
but some people
poured over.
I would still rank Russian Doll ahead of it. But Running Water, that's a good example. Sometimes you need people near you to tell you to drink a lot of water. That's who you were for me back in college. You just drinking water all day long. I didn't really think about it before, and it's stayed with me ever since. And our family's healthier because of it. So you maybe just consider that.
Erica, what do you have to recommend?
tough act to follow. This is definitely really, really niche. 100% Julian Edelman. It's the Showtime documentary, which did come out in June. And you didn't like it? Why are you shaking your head?
I'm not saying anything.
Okay. Well, I thought it was really cool for people that aren't necessarily Patriots fans. I think it's cool to sort of see inside, and it looks at like his relationship with his dad. It also has his sort of comedic things that he does. It's just sort of like dumb football-y guys. But I thought for a sports documentary, it was actually really, really different than a lot of the stuff I've seen. And not just because it's Edelman and I seem to find him entertaining.
Is he your favorite player?
No. But he's on the Patriots, so it's like an automatic thing. But I think even if you're not a Patriots fan, or even if you're not a football fan, it still sort of shows like what they go through. And like Tom Brady's interviewed in it, talks about, you know, what that kind of culture is like being a pro athlete. And I got a chance to meet the director, and his name's Kyler, and he's a really, really awesome guy. And he was telling me a little bit about the process of shooting it and how Edelman himself was really like, he's really creatively driven, and sort of the stuff like, you know, he took a lot of the reins with Kyler to create this. And I just found that knowing that before going to look at it, he was really involved. And I think that that's pretty cool.
So it's called Edelman on Showtime?
It's called 100% Julian Edelman.
100% Julian Edelman on Showtime?
Yeah.
Probably on demand right now. It came out in June, you said?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
You watched it. You probably forget.
I watched parts of it. I remember.
Oh, really?
I remember, like, I have Showtime.
You texted me
like,
at one point saying it was the worst thing you've ever seen.
Really?
Oh my god. Well, is that because you just don't like Edelman?
I don't dislike Edelman. Like, I don't dislike like all the Patriots.
Yeah.
Even like a Tom Brady documentary, like I would watch interested.
Did you watch Tom vs. Time, the like Facebook thing?
No, yeah. I haven't been on Facebook.
I watched like a couple. It was like a Facebook watch.
Well, it was a good job by this director to come by and promote his movie at NFL Network like a month ago, and then like a month later when Erica was out of things to recommend, it all paid off.
Well, actually, he did message me and ask me if I've seen it yet, and I was like, I literally just did. And so I was like, you know what?
It's been the worst.
It's really good.
We could cut the last 4 minutes. It's fine.
We can cut to any 10 minutes out of what you just went through, rambling on about the new Kanye and Fleabag, that two of the most... it would be like recommending Ronald McDonald and Michael Jordan to the world.
I am excited for Mrs. Fletcher for HBO. It just came out yesterday or the night before. So I can't recommend it because I haven't seen it yet, but I am really looking forward to it.
So why did you say that?
Because I haven't seen it yet. And last time I
just don't say anything. Just don't just wait until you've seen it.
Okay.
I don't have to talk about all the things I'm going to recommend. You go to recommendation station. You stop the train. You poke your head out. You recommend one thing. It's off the beaten path and not a lot of people know about. You don't come in and recommend Jeremy Renner. Everyone knows. Everyone already loves it. It's gotten awards. It's got too many awards. So many awards, he puts a gun in his mouth to make the awards stop. That's what Recommendation Station's about. And you guys are turning it into an amusement park, into a Marvel movie. You're turning it into the Avengers. And it's supposed to be a small indie thing.
Nelly Furtado, that's a spicy meatball.
I love the passion. The standard is the standard.
This has been a Comedy Central podcast.